There is a quote that is often attributed to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that great 20th century saint, that says, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." It is easy to imagine Bonhoeffer saying this out of his frustration and disappointment with the Christians around him in the Germany of the 1930s, most of whom seemed all too eager to roll over for Adolf Hitler, to stay silent in the face of Nazi brutality for the sake of seeing their beloved country, their beloved Germany, once again rise to a place of prominence and power in the community of nations. Many of those Christians Bonhoeffer had worked with, admired even, before Hitler's rise, never said a word against the Reich, never said a word to protest any cruel or unjust law or action. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, not to act is to act. Have you ever noticed the way that when we say the confession, we confess to sinning against God in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone? You know these words. It's funny when you think about it to confess to things not done, isn't it? Why would we confess to things that we didn't do? Well, the fancy Christian term for these things that have been left undone are sins of omission. Now, sins of commission are the things that we have actually done, small and big, taking what's not ours, using our words and bodies to hurt others, that sort of thing. Sins of omission are when we fail to act as God would have us act, and instead do nothing at all. The book of James puts it like this: anyone who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits a sin. When we do not say something to someone who is hurting someone else, when we don't reach out to help someone we know to be in need, though they are essentially a lack of action, these sins are just as real and potent and as much in violation of God's will as those things that we actually do. To not speak is actually to speak. To not act is to act. And sins of omission are, I think, what the prophet Zephaniah is talking about in today's reading, that fearsome reading we heard this morning. And it's also what Jesus is warning against in the parable that we heard today. In the parable, three slaves are given an extravagant sum by their master. You might not understand this, but the word talent in this story isn't a reference to some particular skill or ability. A talent in the ancient world, in the centuries around Jesus' time, it was a unit of money, a measurement of money. And it was roughly equivalent, historians tell us, to about 15 years worth of wages. One talent equaled 15 years worth of wages. So when Jesus talks about talents in this story, he is speaking of enormous sums. Two of the slaves manage the trust well and even are able to double the initial investment. And in response to that faithful productivity, they are invited by their master to enter into joy. Now, the third slave receives the talent and takes it out and literally buries it rather than risk it. When the master comes and asks each of the three slaves what they did with the remarkable gifts, what they did with this incredible trust that had been given to them, the third slave tries to spin his inaction back on the master by claiming that he was somehow afraid of the master's harshness. In my mind, it is such a profound echo of Genesis 3 and the way Adam and Eve try to deflect their culpability on anyone else, serpent, God, anyone. But here, just as then, it is a weak excuse. especially given just how incredibly generous and trusting the master was to begin with. And so the third slave is rebuked and condemned. Now, the point of the story is not to celebrate the successful investments of the first two slaves, to laud their skillful financial acumen. Jesus, in this parable, is teaching about the nature of right and faithful living. It's about making the most of the priceless gifts that God gives you in order to do something with them to bless God and to be of service to others. It's about the incredible joy that comes from that sort of bold and creative living. And it's a warning about the danger of sins of omission. If we think that we can simply do nothing with all that we have been given by God, if we think that we can simply hide away in fear and trepidation of God and hope that God somehow won't notice, that God somehow won't care, well, then we're fooling ourselves. Those to whom much has been given, Jesus tells us in Luke's gospel, those to whom much has been given, much will be required. Friends, we are recipients of immeasurable gifts from God. We live in a free nation where opportunity abounds. We get to feel the sunshine on our faces. We get to drink clean water straight out of the tap. We get to send our kids to free public school. We get to take medicines for almost anything that ails us. Most of us eat whenever we want, and unless our doctor told us not to, we get to eat whatever we want. Heck, in my mind, just the existence of coffee and beer and Torchy's queso is proof to me that God loves us and wants us to be happy. I mean, I think that's just patently obvious. God has trusted us just like the slaves in this parable. And God wants to see what we will do with it. Now, the trouble is that it is so very tempting to act like the third slave in the story. To become afraid of God and of one another and of the whole world, that we forget that sacred obligation to make something of our lives for the sake of God's glory and for the blessing and benefit of others. And that fear leads us into the trap of sins of omission. Now, right after Jesus tells this parable in Matthew 25, he tells another story, a story that we will all hear again in church next week. A story about a great sorting that will happen between the righteous and the unrighteous when the Son of Man comes into his glory, Jesus says. It goes like this. You may remember it. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then the king will say to those on his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. When we do nothing, we are actually not doing nothing. When we choose not to love and serve others, when we decide to bury our talent in the ground, we may think that we're just playing it safe. We may think that we're just being prudent, that we are simply waiting for a more opportune moment, but we are sinning. We are failing to be who God created us to be because we are not loving as we have been loved. We are then servants of fear instead of servants of God. Jesus wants us to understand that the greatest risk to our lives and to our relationship with God very well may be the temptation to not risk anything at all. To not care deeply or genuinely enough about anything or anyone to risk something. Jesus says that the greatest risk of all to our souls may be the temptation to play it safe, to hide away in our comfortable suburban homes, behind our comfortable suburban lives, and hope that everything happening all around us will either go away or quiet down or figure itself out on its own, whether it's racism or refugees or homelessness or gun violence. We run the risk of being so afraid of committing sins of commission, of doing something wrong, of making a mistake, of, God forbid, offending someone, that we actually pile up a mountain of sins of omission on our souls. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the sin of respectable people is running from responsibility. We, respectable people, that's us, if you didn't know that, we can always find a way to hide behind our respectability, to feel squeamish about getting involved with something that might include tension or conflict or actually taking a side. But Jesus warns us that the outcome of all of this playing it safe all the time, not loving passionately enough, of burying our talent, is something akin to spiritual death, like being banished into the outer darkness. If we risk nothing, then we will gain nothing. If we are unwilling to love boldly and expansively, then we cannot claim to truly have received the bold and expansive love of God. The world today needs Christians who will not keep their talent buried out of fear or apathy. The world needs Christians who are ready to be risk takers, who are ready to risk the possibility of committing a few sins of commission for the sake of not committing any more sins of omission. The world needs Christians, you and me, to engage, to love, to put our talent on the line for the sake of something big and beautiful and new. That is when our lives will be transformed. That is when the world around us will finally begin to change. That is when we will hear our Lord saying to us, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." And all of God's people said,